advice from a very strange source. Some Pharisees came up to Jesus and they seemed concerned. They tell Jesus, "You should get out of here because Herod wants to kill you." Now that's no surprise that Herod would want to kill Jesus. This was the Herod who had John the Baptist arrested and beheaded. You see, Herod was no friend of Jesus. So it wasn't much of a surprise that Herod was plotting against him. But why would the Pharisees warn him? The Pharisees actively opposed the ministry of Jesus. They were angry. They were angry and shocked that so many people were drawn to this carpenter turned rabbi. So it's kind of odd to see Pharisees of all people trying to warn Jesus of danger. But you know, if you look at this, in at the context of this passage, I think we can get an idea where this odd warning comes from. Because just before this, in chapter 13 of Luke's gospel, Jesus was teaching about salvation. He tells the people to enter through what he calls the narrow door, and that not everyone who wishes to enter will be able to do so. He then concludes his teaching by saying, "Some who are last will be first, and some who are last first will be last." In other words, not everyone that you expect will receive God's mercy. Now, this is a scary passage for anybody. And it had to have been very frightening for the Pharisees, because they were the professional religious folks. No good Jew would have doubted the status, their status in God's kingdom. Surely none of the Pharisees questioned their own place in God's eyes. I mean, they would be right at the top of the list. Or so they thought. You see, the Pharisees kept a close eye on Jesus. They weren't his disciples, but they were certainly interested. They saw Jesus as their enemy. And though they didn't like him, they didn't ignore him. So they were close by when Jesus said, "Some of those who are first will be last." Now, it can't be an accident that their warning comes right after this. I mean, how convenient. You Pharisees and other leaders, some of you will be last one day. And now, all of a sudden, the Pharisees discover some concern for Jesus' safety. Well, I don't think so. What they really wanted to do was to frighten him into silence. But Jesus is not frightened by Herod's anger. He even challenges the Pharisees to take a message back to him. He basically tells them, "Tell that fox, I don't have time for him right now. I'm busy doing God's work." In other words, he will not be frightened into submission by a petty king. Now, this isn't Jesus meek and mild. Luke shows us that Jesus had an edge to him. He called Herod a fox. Now, you don't trust a fox. They're tricky, they're dishonest, and they're dangerous. Jesus knows who Herod is, and he lets everyone know that this deceiver will not stand in the way of the work the Father had given him to do. He will continue his work of healing and preaching and proclaiming the kingdom. Now, after Jesus sends this message, he begins a lament for Jerusalem, a prayer of mourning and of sadness. Jerusalem stands for all of Israel, for all of God's people whom he desires. Jesus sounds a word both of hope and of warning. He calls Jerusalem the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. You see, Jesus is looking back to past prophets like Uriah and Zechariah, sent by God but killed in that holy city. But interestingly, this word of judgment changes into a message of longing for his people. He says, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Now, we aren't used to female images of God. Most of the images and ideas about God are very, very male-oriented. But the Bible does show feminine images for God. Here, Jesus compares himself to a mother hen gathering her children under her wings. Now, please note, earlier, he called Herod a fox, a conniving, selfish, untrustworthy beast. And now he likens himself to a nurturing mother hen. You know, it's said that if a fox gets into a hen house, the hen's only defense is to stand in front of the fox and get eaten first. Then her chicks could get away and hide. And that, in essence, is the story of Jesus. Jesus is the mother hen who will die to save her children. But the story's not over yet. Jesus said, "You will see me. You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is almost exactly the chant that people will give on Palm Sunday, waving branches as he enters Jerusalem in the coming days. Jesus goes to Jerusalem knowing that there are many foxes waiting for him there. But he is determined, like the hen that protects her chicks by giving her own life. Selfless love, enduring pain and suffering for those that he loves. I want to end with a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. He said on one occasion, "I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant." In the eyes of the world, Jesus was an absolute failure on Calvary. All of his friends ran away and his teachings were reviled. But it has turned out to be a very strange kind of defeat, because the world has never gotten rid of Jesus Christ. His defeat has become the greatest victory that the world has ever seen. Rulers come and go, and they rise and they fall. But Christ and his truth are still here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.